Family of God, let's pray together. Glory to you, O Lord. You are our Father who loves us dearly, but you also nurture us as a good mother does. We praise you because of this. Nurture us today as we come to your holy word, that we may grow up into all things as your children. And all God's people said, Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. I'm always impressed and somewhat bewildered by all that science and research can reveal about the splendor of God's creation. More particularly, all that science and research can reveal to us about the splendor of the greatest of all that God has created. Us, human beings. For we are the only ones of God's creatures made in his own image and likeness. It was for us, my friends, that he became one of us, born of the Virgin Mary, and of course for us, not for baby seals or angels or even bald eagles, that he suffered, died, was buried, and then rose bodily from the dead to offer you and me here and now a covenantal friendship with him, and to share forever in his own divine nature. Such is the dignity of a human being called by God. Every single human being from conception to a natural last breath. The splendor of a newborn child always strikes me. When born healthy, children possess all their senses, even though those senses continue to develop and mature throughout their lives. I'm also amazed by how far a child can see clearly when they are first born. Do you know how far a newborn can accurately see in their first few weeks? Just 8 to 15 inches. That's it. You might be sitting there and asking yourself, well, what's the big deal about 8 to 15 inches? Well, what kind of wonder is that? Well, that is roughly the distance from a child's face to his or her father's and mother's faces when being held. In other words, one of the first things that a child can focus on upon leaving the womb and entering the world is he or her mother's face. More specifically, one of the first things that a child sees when they enter the world is their mother's smile. A smile directed simply at the child, not because of anything that the child can do, not because of the child's beauty, intelligence, or hopefully earning potential, but simply because the child is and exists. And so the mother smiles upon her child. Of course, scientists and researchers try to determine how or why a child can see that far. They often suggest that this may be the result of some evolutionary development. But we know a better idea is that perhaps this is just how God intended it to be, so that a mother's smile could bring joy to a child. This little tidbit came to me today because it's Mother's Day. And we want to thank, honor, and pray for all of you who are mothers. This includes, again, not only those who have given birth to a child, but also all women who are maternal in one way or another. Additionally, this tidbit comes to mind because of the gospel that we just heard from the Gospel of John. In this gospel, Jesus makes an analogy comparing us, his disciples, his children, to branches on a vine, with himself as the vine. He says, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." What in the world does that mean? There are three main points that this Holy Scripture is making. A preliminary point about the word abide, the main point about us being branches in Christ's divine, and the practical conclusion that follows from this principle about there being two givers in every single gift, Christ and Christians who are his branches. First, let's talk about the word abide. 8 times Jesus says, "Abide in me." The word Jesus uses here, meno, means more than abide. Abide is a negative term. It means don't go away. However, the Greek word meno is positive. It means to live, as in living in a home. When a branch breaks up off from a vine, a bush, or a tree, what happens? It doesn't abide in the place it once occupied. More importantly, it no longer receives sap and thus life from the tree. It dies and loses its vitality. That's the richer and more positive meaning that Jesus is conveying here with this analogy of the vine and the branches. This same life flows through the vine and into all the branches, which is the supernatural life, the spiritual life, the eternal life, the divine life of Christ and the Holy Spirit coming to us. We initially receive this through baptism and then experience it through true Christian faith and God's grace throughout our lives. This gift and this faith and this grace is the most precious things in the world that lead God's people to a life that is stronger than death. That life is the life of love, agape love. That is unselfish love, genuine love. For God is love, as our scriptures tell us. To live in God is to live in God's holy, covenantal, truth-filled, service-driven, and abundant life and love. God's love is much more than a feeling. It is a reality, like sap in a tree, blood in a body, or life in a vine in its branches. The main point of Jesus' sermon about the vine and the branches is absolutely astonishing. We are not just his admirers, his students, his disciples. We do not simply just mentally understand or ascend to God. We are not just his workers, his employees, his laborers. We are not just his people, his associates, his friends. We are his organs and body, his feet and hands, his body parts. That hairy ball, at least for some of us, between your shoulders and then the rest of the body, constitute as one natural organism. The head and the body. Christ, my friends, is the head, and we are the body, and we form one supernatural organism, one complete Christ. Notice, my friends, that Jesus does not say, I am the stem, and you are the branches, bringing separation. Although the branches depend on the stem, they are not part of it. Both the branches and the stem are integral parts of the whole vine. The point here is that we are not just dependent upon God. We are part of him, connected to him, receive him. We are members, as the Apostle Paul says, members of his body, not members of his club, but organs in his body. The church, my friends, is not simply an organization or club. It's an organism. It represents the whole Christ, the head and the body. As the Holy Scriptures tell us, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. The same point is illustrated by the image of the head and the body as depicted in the image of the vine and its branches. The head is not the CEO or the boss of the body, but it is the chief organ, a part of the whole, as the husband is the sacrificial head of the wife, not the boss. They are no longer two, but one flesh, one body. Similarly, we are incorporated into Christ. The word corpus, meaning body, is at the center of the word incorporated. We are incorporated into Christ's body, not just into an external relationship with God. We, my friends, are married to him, connected to him, living in him. And just as a husband and wife become one flesh, one body, we become one spirit, one mystical person with Christ. God desires, in a sense, to be spiritually one with his people. Thus, God gives himself to his people in various ways as a gift of his grace, especially through the acts of a faithful Christian worship service. However, just because something is spiritual does not make it any less real. In fact, the Holy Scriptures and the faithful traditional church repeatedly emphasize that it makes it even more real. This profound unity of God with us, in us, surging through us, God giving himself to us, is the highest and most profoundest reason why we are holy and why we must respect each other. Because, as he himself said to us, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Matthew 25:40. When you kiss or slap my face, and some of you may want to, you don't just kiss or slap my face. You kiss or slap Jesus. But for the record, only my wife and kids can kiss me. When you shoot a bullet into my torso, or when you hug my torso, you shoot or hug Jesus. When we love or hate any part of Christ's body, we love or hate Christ. We don't just love or hate Tom or Dick or Harry or Mary or Martha. We do it to Jesus. What we do to his members, his body parts, we do to him. Whatever the vine does, so do the branches. The branches are meant to share in the same life as the vine. Without the vine, the branches can do nothing. If you break a branch off the vine, it dies. Thus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. The practical consequence of that changes everything, my friends. When a Christian does any good work, there are always two workers, two actors, one human and one divine. That's the main way that God shows his love for us, his people, by the love of other people towards us. When we say grace before a meal, we rightly thank both God, the Creator, and all the human agents he uses to provide us with our food. The farmers, the truckers, the food industry professionals, and the cooks, of course. Similarly, when anyone gives us a gift, whether it's a present, a sacrifice, or just a kind word, we should thank both them and the Christ whose body they are. But since Jesus is the vine and his people are the branches, what is the fruit that Jesus is looking for, that God is looking for? What is supposed to grow in us as we are nourished repeatedly by him in the reading of Holy Scripture, the sacraments, prayer, other acts of a true Christian worship service, and in Christian mission, service, and life? The answer to that could be multiple things. But for today, I would like to suggest that it is simply this: holy, covenantal, truth-filled, persistent, service-driven, and abundant love. God, is holy, covenantal, truth-filled, persistent, service-driven, and abundant life and love after all. If he is the vine and we are the branches attached to the vine, then we should grow in and bear fruit that is this specific kind of love. Not love as the world understands it and has distorted it, and how it's often portrayed in music, books, movies, video games, and television. Not the gooey, sappy, hallmarky, ultimate disposable kind of love. Rather, a love that John, by the gospel of God, discusses in the letter of 1 John chapter 3. A love not only in word and speech, but also in action, work, and truth. A love that is not always convenient. A love that is not always much fun. A love that it serves and sacrifices. A love that is present, whether it's emotionally exhilarating or not. So, what does it mean to love in this way, my friends? What does that have to do with mothers? And how might we apply that in our lives as disciples of Jesus? The connection among these three questions is found in the word abide. Jesus, in the very short gospel passage that we heard, says the word abide 8 times. He implores us and commands us to abide in him. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to persevere in allowing God to live in and through us, to surge through us, to receive the gifts of himself that he wants to give to us and persevere in that, to persevere in that love that he gives. Jesus tells us that if we are going to be his disciples and bear much fruit, we must be people who persevere. That means that after we initially come to know him, after those emotionally exhilarating months and maybe even years of our initial conversion to God and desire to understand God and the plan that he may have for us, once that fervor begins to wane, what is demanded of us is steadfast perseverance, a patience that never quits, a love that never quits, that sticks to him and stays close to him, and through the good times and the bad, during all the storms of life and all the ups and downs. And just as the vine is trodden upon by various changes in the weather over the years and the animals that come by, that is somewhat what a mother who perseveres does for us. In those first few months and years, when we are so cute and just resting in our mother's arms, and there are times when we are not crying our heads off for 4 hours straight, it is so easy for a mother to smile at her child. Most of the time. There is great joy, wonder, and a sense of awe that a mother feels at having been able to participate with the Lord in giving life to a new child. However, that joy, enthusiasm, and simplicity begins to wane as the children grow older and become less cute, probably especially during our teenage years and well beyond that. How much patience is demanded of a mother? How much steadfast perseverance is required of her? How tempting it must be to quit some days and just give up. Yet, through a mother's patience and perseverance, We can bear much fruit because of her blessings and we become who we are today because of her. That example of a mother's love, the patience and perseverance inherent in it, in one way illustrates what Jesus means when he proclaims that we must abide in him. It is vital for us to stay close to the Lord, receive him, and to allow the Lord to live in and through us, regardless of whether we feeling like it or not, and regardless of our emotions. As children, it aids our growth and help to bear fruit for our mothers and our fathers, who continue to show us immense love and perseverance. Essentially, Jesus conveys in the gospel that being his disciples will be challenging, much like the significant costs and demands faced by a woman striving to be a great mother. With all this in mind today, we want to honor, thank, and pray for you, our mothers, and all the other women who have conveyed motherly love. We praise God for you. We ask God to pour out his grace and blessings upon you today richly. And we pray in a special way that you may feel God's smile directed just at you, our mothers. You are loved by God. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together, my friends. We are grateful to you, our Lord and our Savior, that you smile upon your people, your children, and mothers. May your smile help us to abide in you always, to help us to be faithful, to keep your commandments, and to live faithful lives, justice-filled lives, holy lives, and service-driven lives for you. Amen.